Welcome to Creating Cashflow for February 5th, 2023. Hello, Evan, are you ready to go?
Yes, I am.
All right. Evan is a Cashflow cat. In addition to being a wonderful voiceover artist, he is also a freelance technical writer. So, victories. He wrote, "I am now signed as a voiceover talent with Starz, the agency in San Francisco. Congratulations." That's so great. That's
Thank
so
you.
great. And your technical writing client reached out saying they have more work for you. Fantastic. Whether or not you take that work, that is testament to what you just did for them. It's testament that you're going to have clients that are going to want to use you again and again. It's just such great feedback. I couldn't be happier about that. And you're planning to join the roster of a content writing firm. And the agreement would still allow you to work as a freelance contractor and not an employee, which is great. So they can get you work and you can find work yourself. Well,
Yes.
this is congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited.
Yeah, I'm very excited for you. And this is such an evolution and exactly where you wanted to be, where you kind of hoped you would be when we first met.
Right, yeah.
Your cash flow. I'm so happy for you. So your past client comes back and says, "We want to use you more." You're thinking, "Great, maybe, 8 to 12 hours a week." And they're like, "How about 20?" Which is interesting. And then you have to come up with, "Okay, well, what then would my hourly rate be?" And before we dig into this, I just want to contextualize it for everyone who will be listening to this. This isn't merely about Evan deciding what his rate will be. This is a negotiation here because he has a client that wants one thing, more hours from him, and he probably would prefer less hours, but now he has to come up with a rate. And so this is really about where the leverage is and, how you go about finding a win-win for everyone and hopefully keeping this work. So 160 an hour, how do you feel about that?
I'm feeling all right about that. Like, I chose that number because my contact at my client's firm like gave me a little bit of inside information when the big boss wasn't a part of the meeting, saying that they typically charge their engineers $160, $170 an hour. Or that's what they quote them at for when they write up their contracts with their clients. So he suggested probably hit something a little bit below that. But I'll try proposing the 160, and then they can go lower if they can ask for lower, and then we can start that negotiation from there.
So my question to you, because 160 sounds fine, especially based on your intel. So what I want to make sure you choose now is, okay, this is how low I'll go on price. And this is where the price moves based on the amount of hours, because they might say, "Oh, 160, then we only want this many hours." And you would be happy. But they might go, "Oh no, we want you for the 20 hours, but we want it at a lower price." And then you might go, "Okay, on the lower price, but then the hours also need to come down to make it a win-win."
Right.
I'm not saying that's what you will do. I'm saying I want you to be sure before you go into the meeting of or before you send them a proposal of where your levers are in terms of the hours and in terms of the price. So what's the lowest you would do this kind of work for happily?
Happily, maybe the number 120 is coming up in my brain.
Okay, is that a happy number?
I
After
think,
taxes, after everything's taken out.
I haven't crunched the numbers exactly on that yet. So I'm not 100% sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
Okay.
going based on some knowledge of what technical writing rates are. I have a document that lists it from this sort of documentation, 90 to 100 is around the high average rate for technical writing on this genre and type of content. So I'm basing it off of that, and maybe just buffering it a little bit more is where I'm going from that.
Okay, I like it. And you also have a comprehensive knowledge about this particular company as well. So you're of more value to them.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, so your range is going to be 160 to 120. And you're going to ask for 160.
Yes.
And then see if you can get something in that range
mm-hmm.
from them. Okay. And then you're not going to go over 20 hours.
I don't think so. It's hard to say because like with, I don't know, the rest of my work isn't regular yet either. So technically I do have the time
mm-hmm.
to accept 20 hours of work. I just don't know what the future holds as auditions come in. I want to make sure I give those their time. If other projects come in from this effectively technical writing agent, I want to be able to look at those appropriately in conjunction with this project.
So what if you say to them, I can commit to 20 hours a week for the next 3 months, and then I'll have to see how things are shaping up.
Okay. Like a 3 month probationary testing period to see how things work.
Yeah. Just so that at the end of, just so that you're not being like, yes, no matter what happens in my life, I'm available for 20 hours a week. Because lots of great things can happen in your life to make you not want or mm-hmm. need to work 20 hours a week for them. But while those things are not happening right now, you can work 20 hours, bank some money, and then decide if you want to continue.
Yeah.
I like this idea of committing in small chunks for the maximum amount of hours because it gives you an out.
Yeah. Okay.
And it doesn't get them set on like, Evan's here 20 hours. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, Evan's here 20 hours at the moment.
Right. Okay. I like that because part of me was that had crossed my mind as well. Like maybe try it for 3 months or like not the full year. Cause they said that they have work that could go to end of 2023, but that doesn't necessarily mean I have to commit to all of that upfront.
Right.
Okay.
So for everyone listening, that's another lever of kind of the negotiation. You want to know your price window. You want to know around hours, but also commitment window. A client might want you to commit for a longer time and you can go, well, I don't know if that's feasible, but let's do it for this amount of time. And then it's not renegotiating the whole contract. It's just renegotiating that one aspect of the amount of hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you don't feel so tight. And then you don't have to fear, oh my gosh, what if this interferes with other work that comes down that I want to do more? It's like, no worries. You'll renegotiate and you'll fit everything in that you want.
Mm-hmm.
That sound good?
That sounds good to me. It would help to talk it through so that way I can write up that email and send it off to them tomorrow.
Absolutely. Yeah. And every time we talk this through, everyone listening is just getting better at understanding, negotiation and how to have one of these conversations. It's just business. We're just trying to figure out, but we're so used to jobs being presented to us as this much hours, this much time, locked and loaded forever. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, everything can be negotiated, every little piece. And you can keep adjusting the pieces so that everybody kind of is getting what they want.
Yeah.
Yeah. So love it. And I'm so, so happy for you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much, Christine.
Really good work and good faith in yourself. Yeah. Awesome. Regina, are you here?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
Regina is a cash flow cat, and in addition to being a fabulous actress, she runs Peaceful Pets, energetic cleansing for animals and the spaces they share with their human companions. Mm-mm-mm. So here's what you wrote. In the past month or two, I've noticed that when I put myself out there in a slightly pressurized situation, a pass or fail exercise in a grounding improvs class, or sharing something in a group coaching setting, or any kind of speaking engagement, afterwards, this awful feeling washes over my body and I feel so freaked out, combing over what I did, what I said. There's just this feeling. If I had to describe it, it's like a Salem witch trial gone sour. I may have angered the townspeople to the point that they might think I'm a witch or crazy. It's the terror of leaving a bad impression, a first impression, or the nth impression. It doesn't matter. I can see it happen now. And although I'm not sure of the thought loop that triggers the horrible feeling, at this point in my learning and mindset work, my guess is it's either some pretty deep lizard brain stuff or inner kiddo stuff that I haven't heard. Oh, inner kiddos that you haven't listened to who are throwing the cacophony of other anxieties until now, yeah. I'm not reading this correctly since I've been able to come. Right. So it's either like your inner kiddos or the lizard coming out or whatever. So this weird post-mortem from doing something where you're just going through and stirring, a lot gets stirred up about, oh my God, what did I just do or say? Or did I fail? Did I pass? Yeah. So is there anything you want to say more about this right now? I just want to check in and see if there's anything else.
Yeah, because I forgot to mention the point of all this is like, because I think I was starting to scratch the surface of this a few weeks ago. And now I'm like, oh, so this is why such strong resistance to marketing myself and putting myself out there. I mean, I know I've been like hiding out my whole entire adult life. Taking classes, more classes, but not really marketing myself. And I mean, like, you can learn how to market yourself, but then to actually like do it and be consistent with it. And I think I kind of started to like hit the brakes when I, you know, your marketing idea that I should email organizers. And that was great because I could hide behind the email and just reaching out. Some people would, you know, respond and like, oh, lovely to know about this. And that was all very well and safe. And then someone reached out and was like, hey, do you want to speak to our holistic organizers chapter? And I was like, what? Oh my God. Okay. I got to do this. And I did it. And it like, it was really uncomfortable. I mean, I hope people got something out of it, but I really, again, I felt that horrible feeling afterwards because that's something I've really worked hard to not have to get in front of people and like be vulnerable or be myself or share like, ugh, real things about me. So I think I really stopped marketing myself after that because it was, it was intense. I guess the feelings are intense, but then, you know, it's not just there with promoting myself with Peaceful Pets. It's also in like the area where I'm really comfortable, which is in improv classes and stuff. And, you know, it was even like this is the second intermediate groundlings class I've taken. And the first guy I took it from, he was like, look, I'm going to give you the pass, but you have to repeat because I want you to go through this class without the pressure. Because I sense you might, that would be good for you. And so I was like, this time around, I was like, okay, we're going to do this, you know, big exercise at the end of the class. And it's going to be fine. Like, I don't have the pass or fail thing over me. And I don't know. The teacher said I did fine. But I think I had certain expectations. And so it was a little pressurized. It's like, it's here it is. It's the exercise. And so that's what I'm noticing is like, you know, and then talking in front of other people, I just want to be share things that will be of value to others. And I'm so freaked out after the fact that I know where this comes from. I'm really worried that I'm coming off like one of my parents in front of other people. It's a real big thing. So I know where it comes from, but it's just really interesting to like, it's actually bubbling up into my consciousness. And I think what that last sentence I was saying, I think the mindset work that I've been doing here has quieted some of the other anxieties. And so this one is like really, really strong now. And it's so strong. And yet I'm like, what is this? Where is this coming from? So anyways, I think like stretch, like I have to do my yoga stretches every day for my body to be okay. And when I don't, I can feel it and I'll pull something easily, you know, or whatever. I think there's like mindset exercises I probably should be doing every day because this it just, and I know it's mindset because I get second opinions from people, you know, that, oh, like my teacher's like, no, just keep working on your stuff. It was fine. Like, then that woman reached out from that organizer group, you know. So I get validation that like I'm not turning off the crowd of people that I'm sharing to. Mm-hmm. So I know it's mindset. I know it's some kind of weird thing my mind is creating. It's really like the most horrible feeling. I just haven't really like, I don't know. Maybe I haven't been so present, or there's just been so many other anxieties drowning it out that it didn't feel like that awful. But maybe now I've actually have a more balanced, simple, pleasant lifestyle on the daily, that it's like, oh boy. And it's of course all with things that I'm trying to work towards. Anyways, I don't want to make it into like a therapy session, but I'm just noticing this stuff. And mindset exercises every day or something.
Okay. Let's unpack this okay. A little bit. I really want to first applaud you for the awareness of what is probably, and I agree with your assessment of what's probably going on, where it stems from, and why it's happening now, like across all areas of your life. For you to have that awareness, that's a huge piece of the puzzle. So bravo. And it's really funny how our minds work. And very often, unconsciously, we can create chaos in the way we live as a shield against the deeper stuff. You know, just go, you
busy yourself with this craziness. Because when I first met you, your living situation was very different, and just things were very different in your life. And over this course of time, 2 years, maybe?
Oh, yeah. Three, almost three. Yeah, 2.5. Yeah.
Shifted a lot of that. And you have grown in a lot of ways. And you've started to build a lot of muscles, Regina. So a lot of that chaos has gone away or calmed down. And now it's like, oh, bigger issues come to the fore. So the good news is you are going to be able to handle this. Okay. You are going to be able, this is your next evolution in your life. And this is fantastic. It's not fantastic to feel it, to be in your shoes and going, oh God, dealing with it. But as a coach from the outside looking in, this is fantastic that it's happening to you so early in life so that you can really unwind some of the stuff at the core, which is going to enable you to create an even different texture of life.
Mm.
So this is good. And I think there's only so much that coaching and mindset tools can do. And I think you've run with a lot of the ones that I've given you and we've worked on, which is why a lot of the surface chaos stuff has died down. And you've, you know, advanced in your acting career, and you are able to bring in, you have ways to bring in money, you know, more substantially than you did before. So you've used those tools.
Mm-hmm.
My sense is that now you need heftier tools, more therapeutic.
Oh, I got to call my therapist. Okay. Yeah.
But if you, and maybe even if you have been working with your therapist, maybe you can bring in some additional tools to that work or work with additional therapists. Because one therapist can't always lead you every place you want to go, just like one coach can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So here are some things that I want you to look into. I don't know what's going to be the right thing, but I'm going to give you three avenues. And maybe you're already doing some of these with your therapist. I don't know. And you can also talk to your therapist as you explore this stuff. The first thing is you might want to look at RTT. RTT.com. This is a blend, Marissa Peer blended together a lot. She took things from a lot of different modalities, but it really is, and along the lines of kind of hypnotherapy, but of a different sort, to get you over these kind of bigger things that are really holding you back and manifesting in your life. It's like, oh God, when I speak, or when I market myself, or when I do my improv, it's like, it's happening across the board.
Mm.
So RTT. The other one is D as in dog, DB as in bumblebee, T, DBT, which is a subset of cognitive behavioral therapy. It's dialectical behavioral therapy. Mm. And it's just tighter focus on these kinds of shifts that you're trying to make of like, I don't want this mindset stuff. I want to like work through it so it's not interfering so much when I do the work I do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one I want you to look at is I want you to watch the documentary Stutz, STUTZ on Netflix. Okay. If you don't have Netflix right now, just get some.
I do.
Okay,
perfect. I do.
So watch that documentary, and it's an introduction to a therapist named Phil Stutz, who works with a lot of people in Hollywood. And he also has a book called The Tools,
Mm-hmm. The documentary will introduce you to some of the tools, and then the book will flesh those out. But that might be another tool set for you to start practicing, because what's happening in your life right now is not something that you can meditate away. It's not something that you can do affirmations away. And it's not just about like, I've got to reframe this in a more positive way. No, no, no. This is deep core stuff that is coming up for you. So deeper tools with therapists, I think. And I don't mean therapy is all heavy. It's just, they have just different tool sets.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it is doable. You will get over this hump. You can untie this knot. It's completely doable. And it, I agree. I think it is from your family system.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this reaction to that. And this is one of the most important things you can work on in your life right now, because this block will come up and prevent you from earning more money.
Mm-hmm.
As we've talked, for different reasons that we've talked about in the past. And I want you to be free to have a side business and a career that brings in more money than you need, you know?
Yeah. That's funny, because a friend of mine in this, through Abundance Bound, she has a friend who's starting like hypnotherapy practice and is offering practice sessions, and I've been in contact with her. So
perfect.
I'll start there for sure, but I'll look into the RTT as well.
Yeah. And maybe the hypnotherapy will do the trick. I'm not even saying this is like years and years of work. I don't think it's years and years of work.
Right.
It's just we need to change the neuro programming in your brain, the synapses, and connect them in different ways. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I always like it when somebody says, when I give some piece of advice and they're like, oh yeah, this other thing has, oh, it's like perfect. Okay. Then the universe is just using
twice
the message again. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You got this. You've got this.
Thanks.
Yep. And this is a natural evolution. As we build muscles, new challenges come into our life. That's the only way we expand and evolve, is to come up against something that requires our expansion and evolution. So this is all normal and all very, very good. And it is really a symbol of how much work you've already done.
Mm.
It's not a symbol of like, oh my God, I haven't done enough work. It's like, no, you did so much work that you are now working at a deeper level. Chef's kiss.
Okay.
Really proud of you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for bringing all your tender heart to us in this question, because I think it will help other people as well.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks, Regina. Good to see you always. Anu. Hello.
Hello.
All right. We have a Cashflow Tiger who's a multi-hyphenate, fantastic person, theater, acting, playwriting connected to organizing and movement building, arts and cultural strategy, civic practice, applying theater and storytelling to non-arts settings. Victories. I submitted a proposal for funding that would allow me to work full-time on an ambitious passion project for 18 months. And I reviewed an application I submitted to the same fund 3 years ago, and I was surprised to notice a lot of flaws and gaps. Here's the big victory. I was pleased my reaction was not harshness towards myself, but curiosity and reflection and considering the possibility that I've grown and learned so much in such a short time. Yes, I read that and I was like, oh, yes, that is the biggest of all those lovely victories. So congratulations. You had two questions, one about mindset and one about concepts. So let me just do the concept one first.
Mm-hmm.
You said, have you used the GDT method, which is the getting things done method, which is just a method of organizing to-dos and file systems and all that stuff. And what resources have you found helpful around organization? I notice I get overwhelmed and distracted easily, so I'm looking to put in place some time blocks. But it does feel challenging to have a routine when there's so many different projects I'm engaged in. It might be time to say no to many good things. Okay, so there's two things there. The first one, it might be time to say no to some good things. When you have progressed in life and really have a skill set as you do around something, and you have, there are certain things so far in life that you've kind of mastered within your areas, you have to change your set of criteria around opportunities. Because when you get to a certain level in life, anything you do is going to be a good learning experience. Anything you do is going to be a good networking experience. Anything you do is going to, you know, possibly lead to something else, because that's what you bring to the table. You can make an opportunity a good learning experience. You can make a good networking experience out of almost anything. You know, you're bringing that to the table. So your criteria, and this is just for everyone, your criteria around how you judge, should I say yes to this, has to change, because you're getting to a point in your life where everything, pretty much everything that comes your way is great. It's all great. It's all the stuff you would want. And as a person becomes more known and more successful, more opportunities come, and they're usually great. So then it's like, oh, well, how do I choose between like great and great? Yeah, well, the criteria then has to change, and it has to be more based on how does this feed what I'm focused on doing? Does this stretch me? I'm just throwing out different criteria. Does it stretch me in a certain way? Will it take me to a place of the world I've never been? You know, but your criteria has to change. And quote, is it a good opportunity? Cannot be the criteria anymore. So it just sounded like I just wanted to point that out, that when you're like, oh gosh, there's stuff that's good, but I might have to say no to it. I'm like, yeah, it's, you want to be at the place in life where it's all good. And then you just have to choose. So as far as organization, I'm very familiar with the GDT method. And it's not one of my favorites because it was created by a man who had a secretary. And I'm like, your method's great. If you have someone else who's like dedicated to doing this for you, I think it's a little complex for the average bear, meaning not too complex to understand. It's just too complex to, you don't need it. Now, he had one concept that I really liked, and he really was saying the purpose of having a to-do list or a place where you're collecting all of the stuff you want to get done, you want to get it out of your brain. He called it, I think, a brain dump. And I fully agree. And here's why. If you're holding all of these like things in your head, you're brain has no idea which is more important. So it just yells at you about everything. So if you had like three things to do that day, get a load of laundry done, make that super important call that has to be made before 2 p.m. and maybe, you know, work on that contract that's due in a week, and you're like holding these in your head. Your brain's like, make that call. Do the contract, do the laundry. It's like everything is equal. So you have to get that out of your brain and onto paper so that you can
clearly see and prioritize what is most important, and you're not relying on your brain to yell at you all day. So I thought that was the most useful construct that I got from him. There's also methods like Trello and Asana, and there's this other thing that's very complex. Oh, Notion, very complex. Bullet journals, less complex, a lot of writing. Bullet journals are really good, I think, if you're super visual, like hyper visual, and need that. But where I would recommend you start, we're creatives with multiple projects and weeks that look very different, where it's kind of hard to get a real structured. That's the other thing about GTD. It assumes you have a very structured life, because he was a white male CEO or whatever. It's like, okay. Start with my weekly planning chart. There should be a link to that in Cashflow, either on the main Cashflow dashboard, or if you click on resources, and then inside the resources, there might be an organ. I don't know how I drilled down, but it's in there. And if you cannot find it, let me know. Send me a message on the platform and I'll find it for you. That weekly planning chart, there's also the page where you download it has a video that I made that explains how you use it. And I created it for a client who was just like you. Multiple projects, weeks that never looked the same. That chart is based off of a system called Planner Pads. And I think if you do plannerpads.com, if you like a paper planner and you want to incorporate an actual place where you have your calendar as well as your kind of project management, that system is so simple and effective. I don't know yet if they've translated that from paper to online. I would assume, I didn't have time to check before our meeting, but I would assume maybe they have an app or whatever, maybe not. But my weekly planning chart, it's not a calendar where you're, you know, oh, I'm doing this. It's an actual worksheet that you use every week to decide on, oh, this is what my week looks like this week. Where are my spaces where I can put stuff in, and what do I want to put stuff in based on the projects I have? So start with that and then come back to me and tell me how that doesn't work for you, because then I can iterate off of that. But I think it is by far the simplest, most effective tool, because what you don't need is to overcomplicate just your organizing. And I see people like the bullet journal thing. I'm like, you're spending a lot of time just rewriting. But if it works for some people. But that's where I'd have any creative person start. Sound good? Okay. So the question for the mindset. I have three artistic projects I would like to put attention on, but I'm having trouble deciding what to prioritize and sequence. I'm also considering being a parent and being thoughtful about planning around that as an artist. So the three things are, one, a solo play I would like to adapt to an animated film. Two, a dramedy web series or short film about a couple that loses their housing to mold and battling the impact of sudden poverty, sparking a political awakening and joining a movement. Three, a community-based and collaborative musical inspired by transformative multiracial organizing from three different eras: Reconstruction of the post-Civil War, the 1960s, and today. And you feel stuck around the animated series and the web series. So why did you write that part? You feel stuck, like, of the three, where are you at in thinking about the three?
Well, the play is something that I actually wrote and toured, and it was just really successful. And moved a lot of people, and I actually have an Indiegogo perks that were never delivered to people. It was like years ago because of the crises that I was in that also inspires the second one, the Dramedy web series. But you know, it's always been an idea that I was like, I see this as an animated film, but I am an actor and writer. So let me use my body to bring people into a world. And I did that. But it feels like it really deserves a bigger platform and a bigger reach, and is just an amazing story. But there's some place that I feel like I need to move, either developing the story a little bit more, or around just thinking about how to pitch it, or just gain some traction and having conversations with other creative and business people around the potential for it. And, and I think, I think it's just like some place as an artist that, because it's in part because it's been a while since I have been really creating for myself, and also like something about coming to LA and just this intimidation around the entertainment industry and the, as someone who's been primarily a community-based like playwright and actor, you know, so just some place that the thing that I know how to do and like being excited and talking about my work, I'm like not doing. And because of some fear around and visibility. And I think it's the same is true for the web series, because it is also related to like the film medium of film versus like what I've been doing for so long, which is collaborative projects in theater, and not even traditional, the Broadway, but like, you know, a more grassroots approach, self-producing, all that kind of stuff. But I started working on the web series, and I had a draft, but then I just like something happened. I was like, I don't know what to do with this. So I've just went with where I was creatively inspired. So I just kept, I've written like 10 songs for this. I don't identify as a songwriter, but I'm like, I'm writing these songs, and it's just, so fun. So my friend actually said, you know, it might not be disconnected from the web series, you know. You follow the line of where your mind is going, and it'll give you the answers that you need. And I think with the solo play, I feel bad that people didn't get their perks, and people really love this play. And I have this video, this beautifully shot video of the play, that I just need to systematically sit down and just like put together the email and let people know and give them the access to the music album that amazing musicians created and you know, that we fundraised for as well. So so it's just interesting to notice that. I think it's just maybe connected to what Regina also talked about, this feeling of overwhelm, of like everything feels like at least for me, everything feels like it needs to happen all at once. You know, there's personal issues, there's this issue, there's this housing issue right now, there's this, there's how am I going to make money, you know, all these things. And so it's a buzz in my head that I'm fighting off, which right now I'm like, it's really hard to find the space in my head to, you know, pour into that creativity.
Right. And when you feel choked, even if it's your own hand on your own neck, which it often is, ourselves choking with our timelines, we have to get that hand off of our throat. We cannot create without feeling some spaciousness, even if that's in our own head. Like, it has to be in our head. And then if we have to start creating it in our life, in order to be able to have the space for the new to easily come up and not have to fight its way into existence. So the first thing I would like you to start thinking about is just the longer term. Like, I'm assuming, just from what I know about you, please correct me if I'm wrong, you're here to do this stuff. Like, this is what you're here 4 and to be a parent, you know, like they're stuck. This is what you're going to be doing for like the next 10 years. So let's put a 10-year timeline on these projects. Now, these projects might go away. That's fine. But let's give them an abundance of time. Now, when I say that, what might come up is like, no, but I want them done because I want them to lead to the next thing. And then I have other things to do beyond that. It's like, yeah. But the way to get things done quicker is to give them an abundance of space. Because if you're feeling spacious, that allows you to get things done and then things happen quicker versus choking yourself and going, they must be done soon. That's the slower way and the harder way. So the thing about these three projects, they have two things in common. One is each of them have a lot of moving parts. So each of them are going to take some time. They're not things you can like whip together in the next 6 months. Yeah, so these are major undertakings. So they need some time. The other thing they all have in common is the essence of solo cannot be in them. You are going to need other people for them. Now, someone listening to this might be like, well, duh, you can't, you know, making a movie, it usually involves other people. But what I am sensing, and Anu, you can totally steer me if I'm off course, because I don't know you very well, but what I'm sensing from what I do know is that you're pretty darn capable when it's you, mm-hmm. when things are flowing and are starting and you're the little engine of it. When you are solo, you can get stuff done. You did this solo show. You're the engine. All of these projects, and I think your entire next chapter of your life is about bringing in partnership for these projects, because especially anything animated that is way above and beyond what you can do alone. And I don't just mean this is beyond hiring crew, because I can still do a project all by myself and hire the people I need kind of, but I'm the engine. But something like an animation project, you're going to need a true collaboration with a partner who sees your vision, who can help you even understand how you get an animated thing done, not to mention funding for it. And so because that each of these projects require more heft than just you, they're going to take a little bit longer as you make those connections and do the work you can. But that's kind of good news, because I think you can do them all simultaneously, because it's going to be like moving a little here and then that stops because you have to hear back from somebody, and then you move the other one forward. And when that reaches a little temporary stopping point, then you work on the other, and you can keep moving these ahead until one of the projects, there's a tipping point and it starts to have a little bit of momentum and you have to put your full focus on it and go. But that's not where you're at right now. So I don't think my strategy to you isn't like, well, pick one and take it all the way. It's like, move all three forward, because you're going to build muscles in all three of them that are going to help with whichever one hits first. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And now let me talk about the Indiegogo perks thing.
Mm-hmm.
Can you deliver? So here's my first question. Can you deliver on the perks that you promised, or could you substitute something else as
the perk for everyone. Pretty much I can deliver. I mean, a version of, you know, instead of the DVD, it would be the digital download or something.
I am going to strongly encourage that that's the first thing you do, is deliver on that. Because I think there's some stuck energy around you not feeling in alignment with the fact that you promised something and you didn't deliver. That's one. But also it gives you a big excuse to be like, hey, everybody, hi, here you go. Oh, remember me? Like, it just awakens everybody and brings you back into their consciousness. Whether or not they even watch what you're giving them or listen to it, it's like, oh, a new, right. Okay. And then you can be like, here's your thing. Thank you so much. Sorry for the wait. Life is fluid. It happens. Follow me on here or whatever. Like, you can use that opportunity to just shift the energy around the connection you have with all those people. And I think that would be a great thing. And then, so then it really is about having a little meeting with yourself, with each of these projects. So have a meeting with project one, have a meeting with yourself on project two, and really map out just very broad strokes of like, if I'm going to adapt this thing to an animated film, like, what do I need to know? Like, what kind of guidance do I need to get that I don't know? Like, if it was me, I don't know. How do you even find an animator? How does this even work? Are there studios? How did the people who get Oscar nominated for their animated short films or feature film, like, how did that all happen? I'd start researching, like, how did that happen? Who did they hook up with along the way? The credits of animated stuff that you like, who are those people? What is their story? Are they looking for new projects? Also, finding what's called comparables of like, oh, I want this project to kind of look like this, like, so that you start to create a little mood board kind of to be able to show people, like, this is my vision for this, and it looks like similar to all of this stuff. Because that way, as you start to talk to people about your project, just having someone look at a mood board, you know what I mean by mood board?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They will instantly know, like, oh, that's my style. Like, I love that. Mm-hmm. Even like a business partner that's on finance, they're like, oh, I love that. Whereas someone might look at it and go, I'm so not into steampunk and it's just not my style. If there's no unicorns and rainbows, I'm out, you know? So it will clarify for you kind of like, okay, this is my style. And I want people who love what I want to do versus someone who wants to take what you want to do and change it. So I'd have a meeting with yourself on each of these projects of like, just what are the people I need to meet who might know the next steps? And what are the next big kind of steps that I need to move these forward? And then what is this shit I can do myself? And then I would encourage you to find someone, not by tomorrow, but start looking out for a partner for each of these projects. Now, what I mean by partner isn't necessarily someone who's going to come on and help you with it in any capacity. But like when I was writing my first book, my friend Kristen was like, we should meet every first Friday of the month. And I want to hear what's happening with your book. And she ended up being my editor and like editing the whole thing and everything. But she just became like the person who was hearing about this particular project and keeping track of the movement of it and making it into a reality that was not just me sitting in my office all alone writing a book. So bringing just someone who's like, hey, can I check in with you every month about this particular project I'm working on? Because it makes it real. I already actually have those people.
I love it.
I just, for each of them. I haven't for one of them, for two of them, it's the same person.
That's because
we've been collaborators on it. And actually for the animated one, my partner has been really like, sees all of the stuff for it. And has, we've already done the comps and connected me with people in animation. And it's just, I've been stuck, you know? And so, yeah, in the web series as well, there's two people, him and another friend. And then for the other one, it's a couple of people, well, three people. Well, I actually asked a few people to be on an advisory board for it.
Mm-hmm.
And there were going to be a few rain. Yeah. Anyway, I'll pause there.
No. So for you, yeah. I want you to formalize.
Yeah.
The when you guys are going to meet. You yeah. can meet monthly. You can meet bi-monthly. You can meet quarterly. You can meet twice a year. You can meet once a year. I want you to go to these people and go, will it be okay with you if we connect this often throughout this year on this project? Because then it becomes like a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're having meetings about this stuff, and it make that meeting, especially with someone you admire, you want to show up and you'll hold yourself accountable with doing what was expected of you in the time in between. It gives it gravitas.
Yeah.
And okay, that's great. So now let's just touch on, because I think this is useful for everyone, this fear around visibility.
Mm-hmm.
So is this something that's new, like triggered kind of in LA, or is it longstanding, or?
Probably longstanding. It's just funny that I've been an actor and writer, and yet I have this fear of like getting too, you know, known or so. I don't know. It's like a subconscious something that I notice comes up. And I think people who see my work also are like, why don't I see you with this thing or that, you know? So yeah.
And do you have an awareness of what, can you articulate, oh, if I get too visible, this is what will happen. Like, what is the story?
I mean, I think if there's a few different, there's something like, if I get too visible, I'll be attacked or criticized. People will hate me. I'll just open myself up to, you know, this like whole public platform of opinion about what, you know, and criticism and judgment. But yeah, it's not something that I'm always conscious that I'm operating on. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. But it's really good to be conscious, to bring things from our subconscious to our consciousness and go, oh, that's what I'm in here fearing.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely not unfounded, because you will be criticized and judged and attacked on lots of different levels. But that's the truth. What's also true though, and what you have to start gathering pieces of proof around, because we can come up with lots of proof. We can point to lots of different examples of people who, you know, get a lot of flack for what they're trying to do. But there's also proof that you will be well received, and there's proof that you're not going to be exposed to a degree where you don't have people to circle the wagons around you on your own team and your own friends and people and larger community. And if something bad happens from the exposure, you have resources to go to get help with it. You want to build up your sense of safety so that you can take the risk of just doing what you want to do in the world. Mm-hmm. But it's taking you, you need to write that stuff down so that when the voices on the other side come up, you're like, oh, let me go back to my list and remind myself. You have to counter the voices. And it's not a one and done.
every time the other side comes up, you have to meet it with like, no, I have lots of proof. Let me review it. Eventually it will sink into your bones where you won't have to look at the list. You'll just know. But that is what it's going to take. And then you might also dig around and see, maybe there is a coach or a therapist around, you know, preferably in the, you know, someone who's not white, who really can understand the layers. It's not just like, I'm an artist and I'm kind of weird about visibility. It's like, no. There's a lot of reasons. There's a lot of reasons that have kernels of real truth and perhaps past experience in your life. So someone who can really speak to you from that level, maybe they have tools or things they can do and work with you on. And I don't think that, again, just like Regina, that's not going to be like this huge, long process. It's just probably something like a little injection of, oh, okay, that you can then use as you go forward. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the fear around visibility is very, very common for many, many reasons. And it is something you can overcome, but you'll have to overcome it again and again and again as you get more visible and more visible. So you might as well start now because mm-hmm. It's not going to go away. It's going to be a challenge. I have it on for certain things and certain levels. And it's just like, okay, here we go again. Yeah. But what I do know is that I was able to like clear a hump in the past. So even though this hump looks a little bit bigger, I bet I can clear it because I've got more skills and I can get more help. So you've got this. Those projects sound exciting and I'm excited about them precisely because they are going to require you to come out of the safety zone that you've built for yourself around your work. You know how to do it in here. And you could continue and have a fabulous life just doing projects at that, in that way, solo, scrappy. But if you would like a little bit more visibility and to help even more people with your work, then this is what's required. But you absolutely have the chops. You are so strong. I know that just because of from whence you came.
Mm-hmm. Someone said that the more you know about somebody, the more you realize what a hero they are in their own life.
God.
Oh, nice. I will say that the solo play is about a young girl who has to decide if she will battle a worry machine, this mysterious force that's taking over the planet and causing people to forget to imagine and create. Isn't that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
we write what we know.
Yeah.
And your work obviously is needed through your particular voice. That's the thing. None of us, if you listen to good coaches, we're all saying the same thing. We're saying it in different ways. And we all came to it through our own way, but at the core level, all of the therapeutic stuff and all of the coaching stuff is really about the same stuff. And art too, it's the same core messages. We just need all the variety of people saying the same things in many different ways because our ears, all of our ears hear differently. And we need it heard so that it can come in. Or we need to hear it 7 different times to then go, oh, okay, I finally get it. So your voice is needed. And if you want to share it, go for it.
Thanks, Christine.
You're welcome. So yeah, so check out the weekly planning chart. If it doesn't work right, come back. We'll tweak it. And then get those perks delivered.
Yeah. And if you want to send me the link to the show, I would.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
All right. Anybody else? Oh, yes. Hand. Thank you, Anu. June. Hello, June.
Hi, Christine.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm very good.
I'm like crying a little bit over here about that. The more you know about someone, the more you realize how much of a hero they are in their own life. Like, whoa. Really beautiful. Yeah. Okay, so hi, it's been a minute. I've been, as you beautifully said to Regina, maybe like causing chaos in my life to distract myself for the last 6 months, but finally settled down now and back on the wagon. And actually a lot of really exciting things have been happening, which is really great. Last time we talked, we were talking about my drawings.
Your art projects, yes.
Yeah. And I was like so excited about that and then so terrified of visibility. And I didn't do it for a long time. But I've been posting every day of February one of my drawings. And it's been this like incredible, like I don't know why it's so hard and so scary, but it's been really nice to like just put it out there and not worry too much. And I'm doing it as part of this like create every day challenge, and it's just been really, really nice to like, yeah,
that makes me very happy.
Yeah, so thank you for that. I original seed planting, it's finally blooming. But I also don't know if you remember, but like when I first joined Cash Flow, I was really excited about bringing breathwork, like being a breathwork facilitator.
Yep.
And I have training and but I've also finally really started pursuing that. And I've been working with people one-on-one and a lot of friends. And, but yeah, it's like really cool. I also just moved to New York a couple months ago. Yeah. And it feels, it's really nice. And, but so I've been getting like really good feedback from the sessions and like some really awesome testimonials and people like want, like I can't even like kind of keep up, like so many people are like asking me, and I'm just like, oh, I need to like create, like there's obviously a need, and I think I've like found something. So I just want to like, before I really officially like hard launch, I want to make sure I'm doing it consciously. And so I had two questions that are about like the concept work from the workbook. But then I'm excited to keep coming back because I have like all these ideas to expand. But I was wondering if you could just like go over again the like packages and how like the first one should be like more expensive than the other two, like if it's a package of three.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly like how to wrap my mind around that if it's like an intake situation or like that. And then the other one is I would love to offer like a weekly virtual session at a much lower cost that's a group. But what I'm a little bit worried about, I guess, is how do I price that when I want it, like the whole point is that it's much lower. So, but I like, if I can't guarantee a certain amount of people to come to it, how do I make sure that it is still like the my time, the hourly rate that I want?
Mm-hmm.
And then my fear is that if people don't come, like that it'll turn into like just like a very cheap one-on-one. And how do I like create energetic boundaries around like what my inclination would be, which is to like dive in the way that I do on one-on-ones and get really personal. And yeah, so that would be the question, because I would want to make sure that those two things are different.
Yes, really good questions. So let's talk about the packaging of your one-on-ones first. So how does it work best for you? What do you need to deliver a good service? Meaning, like if I just come to you, I'm like, I want to do some breath work. What do we need to do first? Do you need to talk to me for 90 minutes? Like what happens? What's the best way that you would like to work with me? Oh, I can't hear you. You muted?
I'm sorry.
There we go.
It would be, I always try to make the first session that I'm working with someone a little bit longer so I can explain the technique and just like building in time for that. And also more time at the end, because usually they're so excited and they really want to talk about it. Yeah. And that's another thing I'm getting much better at, is like empowering them to process on their own. It's hard though, because I want to hear too. Like, I'm stoked for them. It's fun. And I learn obviously about the technique through them. But so I would say I guess usually an hour and a half for the first one. But it doesn't have to be that long. But maybe we build in like it's an hour and a half, and then if they don't need that much time, then we don't use that much time.
Up to 90 minutes. So, some people don't need that full amount of time, but I'll give us that container. So it's up to 90 minutes. That's how you get out of that. Okay. And it's not, a lot of times people get in their heads, whether they're a practitioner or the client, of like, well, I mean, if it's up to 90 minutes, I want the full amount. And it's like, oh no, if we're done early, that means you can go on with your life and do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We're going to know when we're done, but we'll have a container that's up to 90 minutes. So you sort of frame it for them in your language around it.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So then that is the first session with, so that's your new client session.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I am now, we've had this session, I am now your client. What are my options? Can I buy a single session? Do I have to buy a package? Yeah. Like, what's the options?
Yeah, I think I would love to offer a single session or a package of three.
Okay. And are how long are these sessions?
These sessions should be an hour.
Okay. Sounds good.
So I do think there is like a possibility, but maybe this is just further down the road, but like possibility for add-ons of like, I could guide you through a journaling exercise. Like if they really wanted time to process with me after, then, but like, I think that would have to be an added.
Let me talk to you for a minute about the processing. What happens during the little processing time? They're like, oh my God, this is what I feel. And this is how I feel. Like, is that what's happening?
Yeah. Well, usually it takes them a long time to get out, like come back to reality a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I really can't rush that part. That means right. Part of the magic, you know? So it takes them a little while to like come to and like ground in and then it depends if it's in person or online, but yeah, I'll basically like invite them back to the computer or back to me, and I get them a glass of water and then so how you doing? And it's like a very gentle, but then if like then they like they're like, oh, I saw this and this reminded me of that, and like they basically like usually have some like verbal things that they want to express to me. And then a lot of times they'll have questions, or I mean sometimes I'll have feedback, or they'll ask me like, what did you, if they know me, I think they know that I often like notice things. Right. So they, you know, sometimes it's like, what did you see? And right. And I'll like, whatever, I don't know. But yeah, that's it's kind of like, I don't know, it could be different every time. But that's basically the question.
So it sounds to me like, and has this happened with all of your clients, like all of your clients like that part?
They like that part.
Yeah. It sounds to me like it's part of the thing.
Mm.
So if the context is an hour, how long does the breathwork have to be to give you enough time for the processing?
Breathwork is 35 minutes.
Okay. And does that give you enough extra than time in the hour to get in and process and out?
I think so. Yeah. If I'm like continue to hone my skills of like focusing us at the top, getting, you know, getting into why we're here today and then into the session and then having 10 minutes to process. Sometimes I need way more than that, but I would say like that's like enough time for a normal session.
And when you say sometimes I need way more than that, is it because there's just more that needs to be said between the two of you?
I think it's like more for in person because it's like shepherding them out the door in a gentle, loving way. Right. Online, it's like usually they're in the comfort of their home and it's actually much easier to be like, I love, like, I even think they like it. They can shut the computer and they have, like you're saying, their day. But I think it's like part of the delay is the transition moment back out into the world, into their car or whatever, subway.
So what would this work? I'm trying to think of like, how do we keep your time in the proper container? So it's not spilling over for each session because then you're getting paid less.
Right.
So if the way you did it was, let's say we're working in person. Okay. So I come out of it. That's great. And what if you said to me, okay, so I just want you to hold this feeling that you're in as you leave. And then I want you to use this app or whatever. There's different ones like Vox, Steam Pipe. You can just use a voice recorder that records a message that they can then email you. And then you say, take some time and then email me. Or a voice room, like just record your thoughts and if you have any questions about this. And then you get that from them. And then you have like 24 hours in which, and your little message is tying back. Oh my gosh, that sounds so great. I made a note about that other thing that we can explore next time. And this is what I saw. A little of this, a little of that. So that it's,
that's beautiful.
Shrunk it down to where they're doing that work on their own time. And then you can listen to it on your own time and respond with a few minutes.
Yeah. I mean, I love that. I love that it gives them also the like diary of it.
Yeah. And so here's the thing when you're a practitioner. It's about you contextualizing it for the client going, this is why it works best this way. You get to have a diary of it. You get to think about it in a little bit of, you know, time, reflection. Then you tell me, and then you'll get to, you know, I get to hear your thoughts and, but let's just give it a little time. Now, if you were like, no, I want all my sessions to be 90 minutes because I want to do that processing. Great. Then we would contextualize it. And what's wonderful is we're going to have extra time after the session to process this and share thoughts. You just make that sound great. Because the truth is, there's benefits to doing it the first way and there's benefits to doing it the second way. Yes. You just need to decide which of those work best for you. And then you sizzle it for your client with languaging that makes it sound like that's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
I do. That's okay. Really smart. Yeah.
Yeah. So then you're like on your website or when you're explaining it to people or in your little PDF, you're like, this is how it goes. We start, we do the breath work. I will ease you back in to your life. That's our container for 60 minutes. Then you're going to use something. Here are some options to send me a recorded message, you know, a 10 minutes or less recorded. Please put a thing so you don't get a 30 minute, but just be like 10 minutes or less. Send me a little recording within, you know, 48 hours of the session. And then I will send you back a little recorded acknowledgement. That's an important, because it's not a set. And then, and that's it. You send me the recording, I send you an acknowledgement back. It's not, and then you ask me another question about it, and now we're recording and sending. No. Your thing has four parts. Entry, well, five parts. Entry, session, exit, first recording, your acknowledgement. That's what they're buying. And they'll all go, great. Everyone loves structure. Everyone loves to know what's happening. What everyone doesn't like is a practitioner that's like, oh God, this is going on too long and I really need to go. And now I'm not getting paid for the full. Yeah. We don't want that energy. Yeah. Okay. So then if someone was like, if you happen to have a client who's like, I really want to process in real time right after our session, you go, great. Then we'll just make your sessions 90 minutes and they'll be this much money. You just add a half hour onto their sessions. But I doubt you're going to have anybody because they're going to believe this is the best way.
I really like that too, because I'm not a therapist, you know? And so I always say that stuff, but I really like the idea of like, this is yours to process. Like it's yours, you know?
Right.
Take it and take that to your therapist too.
Right. So your job is to keep so that your time is kept tight. Your acknowledgement doesn't last more than 3 minutes. Try to keep it under 3 minutes. Do not ask them any questions. Nothing that it's like, oh, well, you know, tell me more about that. Or, well, here's a question for you. Because they will think that then it's now a dialogue. It's just, oh my gosh, I loved this. These are some thoughts that I had about it. I think you're on the right track. I'll make a note for our next time we do that. Yeah, just stuff like that.
I love that.
Okay. So then when we're talking pricing, we have to start with the lowest price, which would be your 3-session package. Mm-hmm. So what is the lowest amount that you would do an hour for that would make you really happy?
I think $100.
Okay.
So $300 for three.
Great. And then if that's $100 a session, what is your single session going to be?
$150.
Okay. And then since your new client session is 90 minutes.
Oh yeah. I forgot about that.
No, that's okay. Your new client session is 90 minutes. So that is going to be 160, 165?
Yeah.
Yeah. 165. Because here's the thing about a new client session. There's administrative work onboarding a client. That email that goes back, I want to work with you. Okay, great. Let's set up a time. Here's my scheduler.
This is like, what you need.
Yeah, that's what they're paying for. That's to cover that.
And it's longer.
Yeah, and it's longer. Mm-hmm. Great. So then now we know what your one-on-one pricing is.
Mm-hmm.
This weekly. The weekly group.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what if you had people have to, commit for a month, 2 months, 3 months at a time so that you didn't start until you had enough people. How many people ideally would you want in this group?
Ten.
Okay. And
but it could be fine with less. I mean, yeah, 10.
What's the lowest amount you would want?
Five.
Okay. So five or more then?
Yeah.
Okay. And when you think of this group, is this something that you think someone should do? I'm not saying you'd make them commit for this, but like, is this something they would do for like 6 months? Is this something they would do, you know, as a way to like deepen and continue their private work with you? Like, why should people join this group?
I guess if they wanted a regular practice, like on a weekly basis, like once, like being able to like hitting the gym or like hitting your acting class once a week, kind of keeping the breath flowing, keeping the energy moving.
And what
I guess I was thinking it would be different people than the one-on-ones.
Sure, it might be. Or you might have one-on-one people who are like, yeah, I want to do it too. We don't know. Yeah. What if it wasn't something that was just there? Like, join at any time. It's ongoing. Here it is. I'm always doing this weekly group. What if it was like you did it for 10 weeks? And then you decided, June, if your schedule allowed you to do it for another 10 weeks, or if you need to take a break, or if you just wanted to continue seamlessly for another 10 weeks. Because then you can keep going back to your people. Oh, we're doing another 10 weeks. Oh, we're doing another 10 weeks. You know, and then people could decide if that's something they want to commit to.
Right.
And you don't do it until you have five or more people. Like, I'm ready to go for another 10 weeks as soon as I get five people to join. And maybe you already have seven people and five of those are like, oh yeah, totally, let's keep going. Then you're like, great, we're starting right away then, because we have five people and everybody and more people can join if they want. So that you're not stuck being like, now it's down to two people and now it's down to three people.
So I think I understand what you're saying, but I guess I'm confused about the language of it. Like, if I was telling people about it, I'd be like, I'm gathering a troop. Like, I'm trying to gather five people.
I'm going to do, I want to offer something that allows you to deepen your practice of this, right? To make it regular and weekly and something you commit to show up for, so that you can work this and build a habit around this. So I want to start something and I want everyone joining to commit to 10 weeks. I'll probably continue it beyond the 10 weeks, but you just have to commit to 10 weeks with me. And as soon as I get five people who want to start, we will start. It's going to be always on Mondays. It's going to be always on this time. And as soon as I get five people, we will start. You put that notice out there. You see, you get four people and you're like, okay, guys, we're waiting for that fifth person. I'll let you know. We're going to start as soon as we get the fifth person. And you get the fifth person. In fact, you get seven people and then you start.
And they would pay, like they would enroll. Like, if they would enroll or pay me, like, would they pay me, but then it might not start for 3 months? I guess that's part of it.
They can pay a deposit to hold their seat. Deposit.
Yeah.
You could do that way, or just see if they're still interested. But I think a little deposit. And then it comes down to, how hard do you think it's going to be for you to find five people, five or more?
I mean, I don't think that hard, but I also am worried about it.
But you won't know until you try.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's worth trying.
What if it's like, what if it's not 10 weeks, but what if it's like they pay for the month?
you can have them pay in whatever way you want them to pay. But the problem is, if it's a commitment just for a month, you might start with five people and have three drop out, and then you're scrambling to find more people.
Right.
Right. I want you to have as few months as possible with less than five people. And if you do it, you have 10 weeks or however long, 8 weeks for you, because people can join whenever. If they
want,
or they can, you know, get on the waiting list for when you start the next 10 week, you just enroll every 10 weeks and it can be ongoing all year. You can never take a break if you want, and it can be seamless, but you always want to ensure that there's five or more people. And you can say, you can just, I mean, there's lots and lots of ways to structure this. But it really is about what structure that you can have the least amount of weird admin about, you know, so that's easy for people to pay. It's easier for you to collect the money. I think Stripe has something you can set up where they can take payments like payment plans or automatic payments with a credit card. But you want to find something that will automatically bill people unless you want them to pay in full at the beginning. And you want to figure out a way where there's always going to be five or more people. So that's either you have people commit month to month and you're always doing marketing and setting the word out and making sure people know about this group, that it exists. Or you do it in like a certain amount of time in blocks and have a waiting list that then gets scooped into the next enrollment and scooped into the next enrollment and scooped into the next enrollment.
Okay.
And then the other thing is, if this was your full-time business, like this is all I want to do in the world, then you could have a group that was just seamless throughout the whole year. I'm concerned though that you would be like, oh, I've committed to this thing ongoing, and then I got an acting job, or then I got this other thing I want to do, and there's no end point. Now, you might get an acting job and be able to just like scoop the meeting or change it. Like, I'm not saying it's impossible. But it might also be nice for you to be like, ooh, this one's coming to an end after 10 weeks. And then I can take a break or go on vacation or not have this on my calendar.
Yeah.
Another session. You want to teach people how it's going to be structured. Meaning we can sell them on ongoing, and we can sell them why it's great that it's 8 weeks at a time or 10 weeks at a time. I want you to decide what would work best for you.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting, like thinking about this. Wait, do we still have time?
I'm going a little over, but this is very good. We're almost done.
Okay. All right. Yeah. It's, but the thing that's actually coming up for me right now is that I'm like, I need to do that 10-week thing, I think I would only get excited about doing that if I figure out if there's like a theme or like a structure to it, because that's what I love about the one-on-ones, is it's all about them and like talking to them and figuring out, like that energizes me. And I also am very excited about like trying to bring this to theatrical productions or film sets and like tailoring an experience around whatever project or problem they're working on. But I'm like, just like a random 10 weeks with like a random assortment of five people, I'm like, what am I going to focus on? Like, what are they going to need? But yeah. I think that's where it's like, I need to make sure that I feel creative and empowered enough to like, I can decide, I guess. I choose. And that's a different kind of level of facilitator, I think. Because I'm not just responding to the needs. I'm like this deciding, which is kind of cool, but scary.
Totally. And you can set it up where it's like, I'm going to do three of these this year. One's going to start here. One's going to start. And this is the theme for this one. This is the theme for this one. This theme for this one. And you don't have to announce the themes in advance. Even you can go, this time I'm doing it, it's this theme. It's on relationships or whatever. And then you put the word out and you see how many people go. And if I get five or more, we'll do it. If not, we won't. You can say that. Okay. You can totally say that. Because maybe that will inspire people to rope their friends into it. Like, come on, do this with me. We have to get five people. I want to do it.
Yeah. And it would still be like, would it still be per class though that they're paying, or would then would it be like a 10-week price?
It's a, well, this is how much the whole 10-week experience is going to be.
Right.
And then you can decide on the back end, give me a credit card, I'll bill it every week for this, or give me a credit card, I'll bill it every month for this.
And this is how much year
you can pay in full, or you can do three payments.
And like, I can break down the price for them, like whatever it would be.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they have to commit to the full length of the course, which will be this amount of money in some configuration.
Right. Cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
And all you have to do is one. Try it.
Try it.
Yeah. Put the word out when you feel ready. Put the word out. I'm doing this thing. It's this much money. It's this long. It'll start sometime, probably in May. It'll be on this day at this time. Who's interested? And see what the response is.
Mm.
And then if you get five or more, or however many, once you set the price, however many people you get, you decide, is it worth doing? And if you feel it's not, you just write back to all the people and go, oh, I'm so sorry. Something changed and we're not going to do this. But yeah. But hopefully later on in the year, I'll circle back with you.
Okay, cool. Yeah. No, I'm excited about that. Okay.
Yeah. So then you price this, depending on how many weeks and whatever you decide, in relation to those prices you set for one-on-one. So the group is always going to be less and more accessible. Yeah. And then you tell all your one-on-one clients, hey, if you want to like do this format, feel free. It's a nice complement to the work that we're doing privately.
Yeah.
You got this. I'm so happy that that part of your life kind of picked up and coming people back. Are like, you're getting such great feedback and you'll grow as a practitioner. And part of the way you grow is you try things. You get better at facilitating groups by facilitating groups.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you want to lower the stakes of like, oh, you know, as you're getting you, I'm not saying you're at this level, but I'm speaking to everybody listening to this recording. If you're like, oh, I don't know how good of a facilitator I am, I'm just starting out. Great. Then price it so low that you don't feel pressure to like deliver some big thing. Yeah. Just try it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the first time can be really, if you need the pressure off, just price it real low.
I know, but then what if they take it and it's not great and then they never take with me again?
They didn't lose a lot of money. That's fine.
There's always more people.
I think that you are going to make it worthwhile. I really can't imagine, June, someone walking away from an experience with you and being like, well, that wasn't worthwhile.
Thank you.
You can always raise the price and, you know, and do things like if you return and do a second one, you can have this price versus this, like you can do all sorts of things with price.
Mm-hmm.
Always want
when you're considering your pricing, you never want it to put a pressure on you. Like, I'm going to charge $400 a session. Holy shit. Now I feel like I have to do something magical. It's like, lower that price. So you don't have to be magic. You just have to be June.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Onward. Thanks for hanging out, Marisol and Regina.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for going over with me.
See you next week, everybody. If you need me, I'll be here. Take care.
Take care.
Bye.